Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Glad to see every one of you this morning looking very great in God's presence. In church and also in your respective homes, you are welcome in Jesus' mighty name. Today is our end of the month special Thanksgiving service, which we have done in this service this morning. It also doubles as our covenant day of restoration. And I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, in this service this morning, every of God's agenda that is missing in our lives shall be fully restored. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We're going to minister specially on for the covenant day of restoration, even in this service this morning. But before then, let's round up our teaching for the month. Our prophetic focus for the month has been godliness is profitable unto all things. And the running theme is understanding the cost and cure of ungodliness. And we are in the last part this morning, the part four. It's important for us to know, as we have earlier posited, that nothing of value is ever free. Godliness is at a cost. Righteousness is not just what we believe or declare, but what we do. It is at a cost. Likewise, ungodliness. If you don't pay the cost of godliness, you will definitely pay the cost of ungodliness, and you cannot compare the two. The cost of ungodliness is disastrous. And that is what God has been showing us so that we can make the right choice. And this morning, God is also going to show us the cost of ungodliness so that we know what we stand to pay for if you don't live a godly life. Now, we must exercise ourselves continually in godliness in order for us to continue to live a godly life. That's our prophetic scripture for the month in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Why do we need to exercise ourselves in godliness? We need to because we cannot sustain the righteousness that Christ received for us if we don't continue to exercise ourselves in godliness. The same way, if you want to maintain a certain fitness, you have to continue to exercise yourself. If you just sleep and wake and sleep and wake and eat and sleep and wake and eat, and you are not exercising your body, you cannot keep the same stature. Praise the Lord. So the same way, if you want to keep the same stature or improve your fitness, you have to continue to exercise yourself. And that's why the scripture says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So it's something we continue to do. It's something we continue to exercise ourselves in the Lord. Now, quickly this morning, let's see the cost of ungodliness so that we know what we are talking about. If you don't live godly, see what you are going to pay for. Number one, ungodliness blocks access to supernatural breakthroughs. Ungodliness blocks our access to supernatural breakthroughs. It is the agenda and the plan of God for all of his children to live a life of breakthrough. God has no plan for you to break down in life. God has no plan for your health to break down. God has no plan for you to be stagnated. It is God's plan and purpose for you to continue to break through obstacles. Now, when you talk about breakthrough, it means there is a breakdown or there is barrier or obstruction, which is normal to life. Barriers are normal to life. Jesus told the disciples, in this world, you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So there is a plan for breakthrough of God. In fact, breakdown or barriers, they are to change our levels. If you don't overcome a barrier, you remain at the same spot. So there is a plan of God for us to break through in life. But if you continue to live in sin, you continue to experience breakdown. Sin stops us from enjoying the breakthrough that God has for us. So that's a capital payment for living in ungodliness. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, The Bible says, turn ye at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. And it's talking about the spirit of breakthrough. How do I know? If you read from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, it's talking about that same spirit. I will make known my words unto you. So when you turn to God's reproof, when you observe that you have made any error, then you return back to God. As you are convicted by the Holy Spirit, then God will restore you. That's what we're talking about. So, ungodliness will block access to breakthrough. So we must beware. If you want breakthrough, you are praying for breakthrough, you want God to help you to break through in your career, to break through over your immigration status, to break through in your health, you must run away from sin. You cannot continue in sin and say grace should abound. Praise the Lord. Now, number two, ungodliness destroys destiny. Every child of God is a child of destiny. God has a plan and purpose. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before you were formed in the womb, before your mother gave birth to you, I already knew you. And I've chosen you and I've ordained you as a prophet to your generation. Every child of God has a destiny in God. You are to fulfill this destiny. But sin always stops one from reaching that destiny. Now, look at it this way. Look at this picture. Someone is destined to be the CEO of an organization. But while he was a supervisor, he steals. And the camera, he was caught on camera. And now he was laid off. How can he ever become the CEO? That destiny has been truncated. That's how sin takes one away from the path of destiny. But I pray in the name of Jesus, no one under the sound of my voice we have his destiny cut off because of sin. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's one ungodliness, pride, the spirit of pride. And look at how this spirit of pride destroyed the destiny of Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30 to 33, he was a king, but because of the sin of pride, his glorious destiny was truncated. Now, in verse 30, the Bible says, the king spoke, saying, it's not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling. By my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. Look at that. By his power. Even if he had said, by my power, but for the honor of God, maybe his punishment would have been reduced. By my power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, which means his destiny was truncated because of just one sin. That's just an example, just one, pride. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that sin will not truncate someone's destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. And look at verse 32, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagles, feathers and his nails like birds and claws. He was sent into the bush, became an animal for seven solid years. That was as a result of pride. That's just one sin. That's just an example of how ungodliness can dethrone someone. How ungodliness can take one away from the path of destiny. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that ungodliness will not truncate your destiny. In the name of Jesus. Now, number three, it engenders untimely death. This one is serious. It engenders untimely death. Now, if you sin and you are not dead, there's possibility to repent. if you want to, or maybe by the mercy of God. But if he kills you, that's the end. That's the end. That's why we must beware of sin. We must beware of ungodliness. Because the agenda of the devil is to take away your life before you even repent. That's why every time the Holy Ghost convinces or convicts you of sin, repent quickly. Because there is no time at all. You must always be aware that sin can lead to death. There are so many today that because of what they have committed, because of the sin they have done and they didn't repent, they are suffering for it. And everybody is praying for them. Everybody is, praying and doing things. But they knew what they should have done. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that someone's destiny will not be cut off. Look at this scripture. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10 to 11. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. So people might be praising you. People might be saying something good about you. But God knows your heart. He knows what is in your heart. And you also know what is in your heart. So every time your heart condemns you, you run to God for mercy. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days and at his end shall be a fool. Now, that's a particular form of sin. Talking about lack of integrity. Talking about dishonesty. Talking about stealing. That's a sin. And that's the same way it is applicable to all kinds and all forms of sins. He said he will leave it in the midst of his days and at the end he will become a fool. What's the essence of getting a wealth and you die in the midst of getting the wealth? A lot of people left so much riches that was transferred back to the government because the destiny was cut short in the midst of it. Because the root of that wealth is not godly. So be careful. Enjoy your level per time. You will not always remain at that same level. In fact, without story, there is no glory. So enjoy your story right now. It's very sweet when you share your story with people that this was where I was before God changed my level, than to have no story that you just emerged out of the blues. Everyone that has made it in life has story. We have had the story of God 7 times without number. The day of little beginning, just one biddle. And that's the same biddle for the ministry, for him, for he will be the one to bring the people to church and take the people back home and preach and like that. And today the ministry has enlarged. A lot of people don't know the story, so they just talk about what they are seeing right now. But the story is there and the record cannot be destroyed. So enjoy your level. Don't jump. When you jump, you fall. Enjoy your level and grow up. Don't envy what does not belong to you. Praise the Lord. Live your life per time and enjoy your time per time. Praise the Lord. It engenders untimely death. No one under the sound of my voice will die untimely. Number 4, it blocks access to eternity. There's a peak of it. It blocks access to eternity with Christ. Everybody wants to make heaven. Who doesn't want to make heaven here? Who doesn't want to make heaven? Let me see your hands up. Everybody, who wants to make heaven? Praise the Lord. That's the essence of serving God. Eternity is real. Eternity is there for every child of God. But when you are sinful and you don't repent from sin, you can't get to heaven. And what importance is it to live on the earth and pretend to be a child of God, to pretend to be a Christian and miss heaven? God forbid. I say, God forbid. I decree in the name of Jesus, anyone that will take evil from you, in the name of Jesus, God will take you away from it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous, look at that, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I pray in the name of Jesus, no one here will return back to the old sin. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heaven is real. And that's the essence of our kingdom stewardship. And it is not good for you to serve on the earth and because of one sin, miss the kingdom of God. I pray that the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man use in exchange for his soul? No one under the sound of my voice will lose his soul in Jesus' name. Now, having said that, how do we deal with the forces of ungodliness? Number one, stay awake to live a godly life. Say with me, stay awake. You must stay awake. And I don't mean stay awake physically. Stay awake spiritually. Well, stay awake physically as well. Stay awake physically, but stay awake more spiritually. That's why the Bible says physical exercise profit little. Stay awake physically because you need to stay awake to join covenant hour prayer in the morning. Because if you are sleeping, you can't join. I see a lot of people still sleeping even when covenant hour of prayer is over. You don't know I see you. I always leave the phone for like maybe 10 minutes or so for people to exchange greeting. And I still see like 24 people still hanging on. What are these people waiting for? They are already asleep. By the time they wake up, nobody. Praise God. They are all gone. Tell your neighbor, stay awake. Tell your neighbor, stay awake. We must stay awake to live a godly life because the enemy is targeting us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, he said, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat and went his way. Unfortunately, today, many believers are sleeping. We must stay awake. Why do we need to stay awake? The battle against ungodliness is a lifelong battle. It's not something you fight and that's the end. No. The devil will always come. When you overcome one, it will bring a higher one. When you overcome one, it will bring a higher one. Maybe before, it's just small, small lie. You tell lies, small ones. Now you don't tell small lies again. The devil will come with something else. He will come with fornication. Now, you overcame fornication. Say, this one has overcome this. It will come with another bigger one. So, it's a continuous fight. It's a continuous fight. That's why we must stay awake to continue to fight this battle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the word says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Title does not mean anything. Praise the Lord. Satan does not respect title. He does not respect being the resident pastor or being the pastor or deacon or deaconess. No. He doesn't respect that. He knows your fire per time. That's why you must always stay awake spiritually. And corporate one has a level it can lead us to. Your own personal commitment is very, very important. The same way no one can eat for you. No one can sleep for you. No one can also stay awake for you. And the truth is, if you are dying spiritually, it's most likely that nobody is even going to know. Because you just put up a smile, you put up nice clothes, bless you. Nobody knows that you're already gone far. Stay awake. But the Bible says, by their fruits, you will know them. When you begin to notice that you dislike the things of God, you can't evangelize again, you can't pray again, you don't like to come to church again, you need to begin to watch that something is missing in your life. Stay awake. Number two, purge and purify yourself. That is, we must engage purging and purifying ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, he said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." If you have been following WSF series, you will know how you can purge yourself. You purge yourself with the word of God, sanctify us by thy truth, thy word is truth. You purge yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the power of the blood has the power to cleanse. The blood has the power to purge. You purge yourself by continue to fellowship with others, for iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens the countenance of his brother. Purge yourself. You know you have sinned. Repent and engage the weapon of the blood of Jesus and the word of God to sanctify you wholly. Engage the power of the Spirit. Be in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. These are all the ways you can be sanctified. You can purge yourself. And number three, engage the name of Jesus in warfare to cast off unwanted habits. There is power in that name. We must strive to cast off every unwanted habit by engaging the name of Jesus in warfare. It's a battle. Ungodliness is a battle. You have to engage the power in the name that is above all names, that is above every spirit of ungodliness. You have to engage the power in the name that has no sin, but was made sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. Engage the name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they are saved." I decree in the name of Jesus, by the virtue of the word that we have heard this month, the Spirit of God to take responsibility to stand and walk in righteousness is being released afresh today. Let me hear your big amen. Lift up your hands and appreciate the Lord. Give him praise and give him glory. Now pray in a moment, "Lord, empower me to live a godly life in the name of Jesus." Begin to pray that prayer. "Lord, I will not disappoint you. I will not disappoint destiny in the name of Jesus Christ." Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. And now on this covenant day of restoration, we must understand in the name of Jesus Christ that everything the enemy took from you shall be gloriously restored. Let me hear your believing amen. Why? Our restoration is the will of God. God has a plan to restore us. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 to 20, if I will just read verse 20 because of time, "At that time, verse 20, "At that time, I will bring you again, even in that time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people." Let's go back to verse 19. It says, "Behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee." I decree in the name of Jesus, God will undo all that afflict you. Undo means to restore. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I decree today, everyone that afflicts you, whatsoever the enemy has taken away from you, shall be restored. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but to kill, to destroy, but I am come to give you life and life in abundance." Therefore, in the name of Jesus, everything Satan stole in your life shall be restored in this service. Our restoration is the will of God. And number two, the Holy Ghost came to restore double for our shame. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, according to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7, anyone that has missed or anything today, the Holy Ghost will restore double for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And number three, we must know that restoration among others include restoration of lost years, health, glory, honor, and blessing. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, whatsoever year that you have lost shall be restored in this service. In the mighty name of Jesus, According to Joel chapter 2, verse 23 to 26, he said, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vase shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm, my great army, which I send among you, and you shall eat in plenty." If God is talking to you this morning, say a big amen. Therefore, I decree, in this service this morning, your health shall be restored. Your glory shall be restored. Your honor shall be restored. The lost or wasted years shall be restored. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, what are the covenant keys to securing our restoration? Number one, be born again. God cannot restore you until you become his child. That's what we mean by being born again. To be born again means you return back to God and ask God to come into your life and be your Savior and your Lord. That you surrender your life to him. That you receive his redemptive right. That's what it means to be born again. Because if you don't belong to God, there's no way God can restore you. You can't give anything to somebody's child that is not your child. You don't even know what he needs. But if you take anything from your child, then you can give it back to your child. Or if somebody takes something away from your child, maybe your child lost anything from school, and he tells you, "Daddy, I'm sorry, I can't find my book again, and I need another one." You chastise him, and you give him another one. You don't just leave him like that. So Satan has stolen some blessings in your life. You need to know Jesus Christ for as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Father before you can receive anything from him. So you have to be born again. If you are not born again this morning, I will give you opportunity to surrender your life to Christ before we pray the prayer of restoration. Number two, covenant key to restoration. Remember in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, just a scripture for being born again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you can't justify yourself. You need to return to Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, he said, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Number two, covenant key to securing our restoration. Receive and believe the word of your restoration. So as this word of restoration is coming this morning, don't doubt it. Don't say, "Is it really true that the wasted years can be restored? Does it really mean that I can gain all the years that I've lost in this America?" Yes. All it takes is your faith. Believe it. Receive it. The word of restoration. We must receive and believe the word of our restoration. In John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, "As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God." This morning, in the name of Jesus, as you receive this word, any area you need restoration, you shall receive it. Number three, be committed to serving God and the interests of his kingdom. Why are we always particular about it? Because that is the automatic key to open the heaven, including restoration. We must be committed to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. In Job chapter 36, verse 11, the word says, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." No more pressure. Pleasures. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, as you commit yourself to serving God and the interest of his kingdom, everything the enemy stole in your life shall be fully restored. There are so many ways to serve God. We serve God with our resources. Tithes, offering, kingdom advancement projects, and so many other ways. We serve God physically. We clean the church, sweep the church, and do cameras, do computer work, do media work, sing in the church, usher people into the church. Those are forms of kingdom service. We also serve God spiritually by praying kingdom advancement prayers. People might not see that. We go on evangelism to win souls, to tell people about Christ physically. or by connecting to them virtually, releasing the things of the kingdom unto them, and directing them to places where they can see resources. Praise the Lord. These are all the ways. When you are serving God this way, the enemy cannot hold on to what belongs to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, everything the enemy is still holding on to shall be fully restored. And number four, be committed to praying for the well-being of others. When the Holy Spirit brings a picture to your mind, go ahead and pray for that person. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Holy Spirit. If you don't really, if you really have the body, call the person. I'm just checking with you. Is there any area I can pray with you? And oftentimes you will figure out that the person really needs something. So everything is not about money. You can check with the spiritual status of somebody. You don't have to become a pastor. You don't have to be one of the leaders in the church. God sees your secret labor. When the Holy Spirit brings somebody to mind, and if it's not bringing anybody to mind, just pray. You remember somebody in your unit that you have not seen for a while, your unit leader, your pastors, your leaders in the church, your friends, go ahead and pray for them. As you are doing that, God is meeting your needs. That's what Job did. Job, when the devil took everything from him, he started praying for his friends. And God restored Job, according to Job chapter 42, verse 10 to 12. So that's another secret of restoration. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So if you have missed anything and you know someone that is also missing the same thing, pray for the person. I've seen people praying for people that needs to be married, and they themselves need to be married, and God answer their prayers. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that everything the enemy stole this morning shall be fully restored. Number five, believe. We must believe that God sent prophets and agents of restoration to meet our needs. So believe that God sent prophets and agents of restoration. Or believe in God sent agents of restoration. That is, believe in the one that is bringing the word of restoration to you. We have an apostle over this commission, an apostle of liberation. Now the hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the word of faith, and I am sending you to undertake this task. And when you are liberated, restoration is also part of the package of liberation. Therefore, we have an apostle over this commission. We also have a pastor that God has sent to us. You need to believe. A lot of people do themselves great disfavor by not connecting. You have to connect. You cannot receive anything from a man you don't connect to. You have to connect in the spirit. You have to connect in the soul. You have to connect in the body. The age of the person is inconsequential. It's not by age. It's not by stature. It's not by eloquence. It's by the grace of God. There is something that you need that God has deposited in him. Praise the Lord. And you don't choose your pastor. So it is your responsibility to connect to the one that God sent to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as God sent our Father to us, and he also sent me to you, every word of restoration and speaking to your life this morning is taking place in Jesus' name. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to 41, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. I love that scripture. For instance, now, if you receive me, you have received Bishop David Oyedepo. If you receive Bishop David Oyedepo, you have received God. That's the pattern to what Jesus Christ is saying here. So if you say, no, I don't want Pastor Ajayi, I just want Bishop David Oyedepo, you are disconnected from the one God sent to you. That's why your heart must be connected all the time. And now he said, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He's not talking about physical gift from the prophet. He's talking about receiving the blessings that the man carries. There are people in this church that connect with their heart. That even if you just say you are blessed, anything is done. It is not about the fervency of the prayer, it is your connectivity. That's how we receive things from our fathers. It's not even proximity. It's not even, it's your heart, the way your heart connects. So I want you to connect this morning from wherever you are listening from. And I know in the name of Jesus, whatsoever God has released upon our father, Bishop Oyedepo, that is working in our lives, you begin to work in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody blessed this morning? Please jump to your feet, lift up your hands, and let's begin to appreciate the Lord. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory. Let's celebrate him. Let's magnify him. Thank him for the word. Thank him for light. Thank him for revelation. Give him praise and give him glory. Respo katula gadosh empra kataya gadosia. Elimpro kakuta zizia katole gadosh shikaya galagados. Empra kokako tozusotoria. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I'm going to be declaring strange prayers for restoration this morning. But before then, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. If you are not born again, you cannot receive any blessings from God. Especially, you cannot be restored. So please take your seat, everyone. You are here in this sanctuary this morning. You want to be born again. Or you want to rededicate your life to Christ. You noticed one area. As I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit convict you of one area that you need to repent. Why not? You are hearing me right from your home this morning. You are not born again. You have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please say this prayer with me. Everyone in this sanctuary or connected virtually, you want to receive Jesus Christ. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood who shed for me on the cross of Calvary. Come into my life. I make you my Savior and my Lord. I rededicate my life to you. I will serve you and follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Father, I want to thank you for everyone who said a prayer this morning. You said in your word, whoever comes to you will not cast out. Please, Lord, accept them. Wash them with your precious blood. And write their names in the book of life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.